Welcome to church. Grab a seat. I'm going to stay down here tonight. Hope that's okay with you. I'm glad that I have your permission. Thanks, Hugh. I don't know what I would do if it wasn't okay with you. I'd probably just do it anyway. Yeah, I can do what I want. Really? Too bad. No, not really. So on your seats, you will find... Or maybe all of your seats, I don't know, half of your seats, you'll find a red envelope. If you were not here this morning, I thought I'd just quickly go through what this means. As you know, we are hoping and in faith believing that we are going to, you know, break some land by the end of the year on a new building, and I'm really excited. You know, I've been coming to this church ever since it was a church, long before it was called City Life. Back when it was Northern Suburbs Assemblies of God, Coromel Primary School Hall. And every time we have moved, so we moved from Coromel Primary School, we moved to the community center, we had the room. Remember, represent the room. Whose idea was that? and then we moved here, and every time it has opened new doors and new ministries and new things. And, you know, as excited as I am, as nice as it is to say, yeah, I was here then or whatever, you know, I'm more excited that people say, I came to City Life when we were in Jardine Street. You know, I came to City Life when we built a new building. Like, you know, and that every single one of us, you know, this is our home, this is our family. And oh, if you miss Alex and Christian this morning, they were so good. You know, here guys that are like, you know, 10 and 12 or 13 or whatever, and they're just saying, like, this is family, and family gives together, and man, they just had the heart for the house. And, you know, I've been thinking, and I know like a lot of people thinking about why you give, and to hear like someone like who's 10 years old just nail it and just know in his heart, this is why I'm doing it and I'm going to be a part of it. That's a challenge and an encouragement. And, you know, if someone who's 10 can do it, you know, that's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen. That's why. Because, you know, what it takes us ages to figure out, someone who's 10 just gets. So take the envelope. Inside it is a little card that says, I have deposited, and there's a dash to buy the bricks. And so the dash is where you write how much you deposited. Basically, like I am assuming that, you know, most people won't want to put their massive wad of cash in the red envelope. So you deposit it. But next week, bring your envelope. So if you're ready with your offering next week, bring it along. We're going to have like a wall at the back. And the reason that these are DL size and red is because it looks like a brick, yeah? And so we are going to build a brick wall out of our Buy the Bricks offerings next week. So bring it next Sunday morning, Sunday night, and at the back of the church, we're going to build a wall, and I hope and believe that it's going to be full. So bring your offering if you've got that ready next week, and let's get amongst it, hey? It's going to be awesome. All right, I'm going to pray again before I start. God, just thank you so much for this time that we have together and the privilege that it is to come into your house and to spend time with you and spend time with each other, God. And I just pray that you would speak to us really clearly tonight. And God, that every single one of us would leave with something really clear on our hearts from you. Amen. All right, I was reading in 1 Timothy this week, and I came across, you know, 1 Timothy 4, and probably a lot of us know the verse. And it's one that I've heard a lot of times, and particularly as like a young person growing up in church, you hear it, 1 Timothy 4:12, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity, yeah? You know that one? We've heard that one before. But I kept reading, and I was really interested in, you know, the advice that Paul gives Timothy, because, you know, Timothy is like a young guy, like leading a church, and he's doing the work, and Paul has all this stuff, all of this advice for him, and he, in fact, has quite a bit of advice for Timothy. But there was something else that stood out, and I want to read on further. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public meeting of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And this is the bit, it's in verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the bodies of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I want to talk tonight about not neglecting your gift. I read it and I was just like, it stood out. And there are just these other parts in 1 Timothy where Paul kind of says to Timothy, Don't neglect your gift. He says, stir up your gift. Like, remember what the gift that you got when people put their hands on you and they prayed for you. Remember that gifting and stir it up. Yeah, do not neglect it. And I really felt like God speak to me and just say, don't neglect your gift. And so that's what I want to share tonight. Because every single one of us has been gifted. Every single one of us has a gift that was given to us to be used. Amen. And it's given to us so that we can actually do the thing that God has called us to do. You know, God does not call you without gifting you, and He doesn't gift you without calling you. So you have to know that when you've been gifted, that it's for a purpose and it's to be used. Amen. And you have to know that all of us have been gifted. You know, it's like a musical instrument. Now I'm gonna ruin things, and they're gonna have to set up mics again. But I just wanted to show you a gift. I'm not gonna play drums tonight. I'm just gonna, you know, just talk amongst yourselves. This is harder to. I thought this was gonna be quicker and smoother. This is really, really put on there tight. Oh, there it goes. It's all right. Got it. I just wanted to grab this. Okay, this is my snare drum. Woo! Oh, look at it. Ooh, isn't it nice and shiny? So I got this last year. I paid for some, and it was a bit of a birthday gift. And I was thinking about my snare drum, which, you know, here it is. And it looks nice, yeah? You know, DW Collector Series. You know, probably two people care about what that is. But you know, it looks nice, yeah, and it's a nice musical instrument. But, you know, if I neglect this gift, if I don't play it, it's pretty useless, yeah? But if I use it, then it's great, yeah? And it's the same with your gifting, yeah? So all of us have been gifted and called by God, but your gift is not just to sit there and look good on your mantelpiece or to be, like, on display on a shelf because it's precious. You know, this wasn't cheap. But it's not something like, it's not like, you know, something that you just put on a shelf because it was expensive. I think sometimes, like, maybe you don't think you've got a gift, but maybe you think your gift is precious, and so you don't want to do anything with it because you might ruin it. But, you know, this is useless if I don't use it. That makes sense, yeah. And maybe it gets some wear and tear, but, you know, that's kind of part of the deal when you use something. But why would I not use a gift that's actually really good? And maybe it looks nice, but it sounds much nicer. And I'm not going to find that out unless I use it, amen. And so, you know, God has given you a gift, and let's not get, like, too enamored with the gift and put it on a shelf, but let's use the gifts that God's given to us, yeah? You know, because that's why you've got it, you know? And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying, don't neglect your gift. Don't put it aside on a shelf and forget about it. Don't, like, just get caught up in the day-to-day that you forget the reason that you're here and the gifting that you've been given. But use it, yeah, and develop it. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, is just, you know, how we can use our gifts and how you can ensure that your gift is not neglected. Everyone with me? Does everybody understand that they have a gift tonight? Good. The first thing that I think we need to do if we don't want to neglect our gifts is we need to learn to receive our gifts, yeah? Now, this is what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. He says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But, Paul says, stir up the gift. Receive the gift. He's saying, don't look down on the gift. Don't disregard the gift. Don't leave it off to the side somewhere. But remember the gift that you have received. Amen. Understand the value of it and accept it. This is hard, I think, sometimes, because, you know, we get this, like, false humility where it's like, you know, if I talk about my gifting, then it's like I'm proud, but really I'm being proud by it not talking about my gifting and not using my gifting, because I'm saying that I don't need a gift from God because I'm just kind of good enough by myself. I don't know. But, like, you know, let's have the gift that we have been given and accept it and receive it. You know, when you, like, When you get a Christmas present or something, you know, it's as much about receiving and giving as it is the present itself, yeah? And so, like, you don't just kind of get it. And like, I don't know, maybe you do. Maybe, you know, things are not that friendly on Christmas Day for you, because when you get a gift, you're like, and you throw it on the ground. I don't know. And then, like, your family are really disappointed. But, you know, when you give someone a gift, the best thing is to see them receive it with, like, and be genuinely excited about it, yeah? And that's like, you know, you give it and that's what you want to see. That, and you feel like you've done well because, like, they're genuinely, like, happy to receive that gift. And God has these gifts that he has given you, and he is just watching to see you, like, graciously accept it and be excited about what you've been given. And he's like, I'm trying to pour this stuff out on your life. He says, will you receive it? Will you get it? And will you accept it? And will you claim it as your own? And will you take it on? And will you be proud of the gift that I have given you? Yeah? Amen? Now, don't look at other people's gifts and wish that you had that gift or were like them. Be excited about the gift that God has given you. Amen? Because, you know, the person next to you that you want their gift, they want your gift. And you can't swap. So just, you know, get excited about the thing that God has done in your life. Because when you start to understand the value and the purpose of the gift, then you'll be able to understand how to use it. You know, it's like this. Like, you know, if this was just like, you know, meant for decoration, you'd just be like, oh yeah, that's nice, but it's pretty heavy. And it's, you know, a bit random. You know, like, if you're not a drummer and someone gave you a snare drum, you wouldn't be like that wrapped, yeah? You'd just be like, oh. But if you're a drummer, you're like, wow, that's awesome. That is such an awesome gift, because, you know, you understand the value because you understand the purpose, yeah? And so we need to learn to receive the gifts that God has given us, yeah? If you don't know your gifting, then have faith that you have a gift, because the Bible says that you do. You know, let it build up. You know, get people to pray for you. Paul says, stir up the gift that you had by the laying on of hands. So if you don't know your gifting, then talk to your life group leader. Speak into your life group and just say, I don't really know the gifts that God has given me. Can you pray for me that I can start to get the gifting of God on my life? You know, get people to do that. You know, discover the things that you're good at and discover the spiritual gifts. Seek after those things, yeah? Remember those times where God speaks to you. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. He says, remember, don't neglect the gift, but remember that time when you were prayed for and you received the gift. Remember that, yeah? And give God a chance to show you the gifts that he's given you. You know, just ask him. You know, it's not rude to ask God for gifting and to ask God what he's given to you, yeah? And I think sometimes we feel like it's rude or something, but, you know, Paul says, eagerly seek the gifts, yeah? And he says, you know, in Matthew 7, Jesus says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, if you don't feel gifted, then ask God for a gift. Don't be ashamed about that. It's not like some awkward thing, you know, where it's getting close to your birthday and so you awkwardly ask for something. You know, God wants to give you gifts and he is waiting for you to ask him. And he says, if you ask, you will receive. Like, that's really easy. He said, if you will seek it, then you will find it. And the only thing we've got to do is ask for it. The only thing we've got to do is seek it, yeah? Like, so, yeah, come on. Now, it says in James 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, you are chosen by God. He doesn't change his mind, but he chose you and he called you and he gifted you. And so you can come to him and know that every gift you get is from God. And ask him for it, receive it, yeah. Let it be real in your life and valuable in your life. Ask God to explain to you what he wants you to do. Like, you know, receive the gift. Don't neglect the gift. And then once you've received it, you need to learn to develop your gift. See where I'm going with the whole points thing there? It's good. You know, practice. Feed it, you know, spend time with God, train, study, grow, you know, do all those things. You know, that's what he's saying in 2 Timothy 1, where he says, like, stir up the gift. It's like, you know, stir it up, do something about it, yeah? Build it up. It's like the drum. It's like a musical instrument, you know? If you don't practice, you won't improve. You know, I used to teach drums, and I could always tell when a student hadn't practiced that week. And I don't know if they thought they were fooling me, but it was really obvious. And when I think about it, it was really obvious to my drum teacher when I didn't practice and I thought I was getting away with it. And like, yeah, I can sight read this. And then like you stuff it up and they're like, you didn't practice, did you? Like, no. So, you know, if you don't practice, you're not going to improve, you know. An expensive drum is not going to make you a good drummer, yeah? Like, it just doesn't. It's really obvious, yeah? We understand that. You know, you can spend $5,000 on a drum kit and it would sound terrible. But if you spend maybe 5,000 hours practicing on a drum kit, then a $100 kit can sound amazing, because it's not about the gift. It's about using it and developing it and building it up, yeah? Because every gift that we've been given is valuable and every gift that we've been given is good. But we need to develop it. We need to build it up. We need to stir it up, yeah? You know, keep on developing those gifts. You know, there's a story in Matthew 25 that most of us have probably heard, the parable of the talents, where the master gives these servants gifts. And he says, take the gift and use them. And two of the guys, there's three guys, two of them, they take their gift, the money, the talents, and they use it and they develop it and they like double it. But one guy just takes it and hides it away. He doesn't develop his gift and he gets punished and the other guys get even more. And I think that's what God's trying to say to us. He's like, you know, sometimes you might get a gift and you don't think it's worth very much. But developing your gift will turn it into something priceless. Amen? Because it's not about just the gift itself. It's about what you can build it into and what you can do. You know, God puts potential in every single one of us. But potential by itself is not enough. You can't live on potential. You know, you gotta do something about it. You know, you gotta work to achieve it. Like the whole point of potential is that you can see what could be so that you can work to achieve it. You know, and God gives us grace and He enables us and He does that. It's not like a striving thing, but it's like saying, okay, I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to develop the gift that God has given to me. You know, if you have a gifting in an area, then work on it. Make it better. Don't sit back and just rely on that gifting. But develop your gift. Work for it, yeah? Because if you work for it, then the potential is limitless. You know, you can see so far from back here. But then when you get there, you can see so much further. So, like, you just got to keep developing your gift, eh? And not neglecting your gift. And then you just got to use it. I was reading in Romans 12, and it's a famous gift passage. Romans 12, 4 to 8. Paul says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, yeah? If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If he is serving, let him serve. If he is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, Paul gives instructions on how to use these gifts, but the overall message is do it. Use it. It's like if your gift is to serve, then serve. Don't sit there and look at your gift and go, well, yeah, I'm really gifted at serving, but I don't do anything about it. Like, you know, that doesn't work. You can't get anywhere if you don't use your gifts. It's just like having the snare drum on the shelf somewhere instead of actually using it, yeah? And it's not until you use it that people see it and see the value in it, yeah? Like, none of you care, like, where I got this, how much it was, you know, what sort of skin I use, any of that. You don't care what the blue things are stuck on there. Maybe you're slightly curious. But when we're in worship, the drums sound nice. And you don't even know that it's because of the snare drum. But that's part of it, yeah? It's the same with your gifting. Like, maybe, like, when you don't use your gifting, nobody's going to notice it. Nobody sees it. But when you use your gifting, maybe people aren't going to go, oh, wow, that gift is amazing. But maybe go, oh, wow, that God is amazing. Yeah, and that's the aim of a gift. And that's the reason that you use your gift. It's not so that someone goes, well, that's a really nice snare drum. It's so that someone can come and worship God. Yeah, that's why. Now, the reason if you're a musician that you practice and you play and you do that is so that people can worship God. And you bring people to a place where they can worship. And so all of the gift is for that, yeah? So that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, use your gift. Just use it, you know? Let it be seen. I think that's one of the best things about understanding that every gift is from God, is that it means that when you use it, every gift just points to God. And every time you use your gift, it's not about saying, look at me. It's about saying, look at God and the grace that he's put on me. Look at God, because I couldn't do this by myself, but it's just the gift of God, and I have run with it as far as I can, and I have made the best of everything that he's given to me. And it points people to Jesus. You know, Matthew 5, it says, you're the light of the world. You know, a city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, using your gift is not a selfish thing. Somehow, I think we get this idea that, you know, if I go out all out and I do the things that I'm really gifted in, that, you know, it's selfish. I don't know. Am I the only one that has thought that ever? Maybe. Okay. But, you know, I think what it is that it's selfish not to live out of your calling and not to use your gifting, yeah? Because, you know, God's given you a unique gift and a unique purpose, and he has called us to work those gifts together as a body. And so if I neglect my gift, then I'm actually being selfish because I'm not bringing it to the body and building the church, and I'm not doing the thing that God has called me to do, and I'm not helping others. And, you know, it's only when we all bring it together that it really works, yeah? It's like a drum kit. You know, a snare drum, that's great. But you might have noticed that there's a few other things in the cage there, because a snare drum by itself is just like bang, 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 bang. But when you have all of the drums and the cymbals, it's rhythm, and it creates something bigger, yeah? And it creates music. Well, some people would argue that it doesn't. But I think it does. But, you know, the snare by itself, like, there are some people who are really good on just a snare, but for me, like, it's just part of the drum, the whole thing, yeah? And when the whole thing comes together, that's music and rhythm, not just when it's just one thing. You know, I really am excited to think about people seeing us living out our gifting and our calling as a community and as individuals, and then looking to Jesus and just seeing your life and going, and there's something about them and the way that they live and the things that they do that just seems to be beyond normal and seems to be like as if they are accessing something higher, which is exactly what you're doing. And when you live out your gifting, and when you use your gifting, and when you do the things that God has called you to do using the gifts that he has given you to do it, then it does go beyond just the natural. Amen? And it's supposed to. If it's just natural, then, you know, anyone could do it. But God has given you a unique call and a unique gift, and he wants you to do it so that he can be glorified. Amen? Come on. You know, there's something amazing about watching somebody do the thing that they were created to do, the thing that they were made to do. Yeah, it's like you watch someone playing an instrument, or you watch someone, like, playing a sport, and they're obviously just, you know, they're natural athletes, like they're gifted, yeah? Like the Olympics are coming up, and, you know, we'll see these people who are incredibly gifted and using their gifts. But what I think is amazing is that, you know, you'll see like a 10-second race, and that's someone using their gift. But what we're really seeing is someone who, like, accepted their gift and developed their gift, and then they're using it. And we just see the using it part and think, that's what I want. And, you know, you come into church and you see someone using their gift and you go, that's what I want. But you don't see them developing their gift. You don't see them putting the hours in, yeah? You see someone on stage playing and you think, oh, I want a gift like that. But you don't see the hours and hours and hours and hours put into developing the gift that they've been given, yeah? And that's what we've got to do, yeah? And that's what we do. And when we do that, then it's this amazing thing happens, yeah? And God moves in a powerful way, and he's just waiting for us to do the things that he's called us to do, yeah? So that the people would be brought to him, so that he could be revealed to people, yeah? So that your family and your friends could see God because you did the things that he's told you to do, yeah? You know, who wouldn't want to be a part of that, yeah? It's not like, what can I do to, like, convert my friend? That's not the point. But it's how can I live like Jesus, and how can I do the things that he has gifted and called me to do so that someone is attracted to God? Someone sees my life and they don't see me, but they see what God has done and they're attracted to that, yeah? And so use it, don't neglect it. You know, the word gift in this passage is actually charisma. You know the word? You've heard the word before. And, you know, charisma means just an undeserved gift or favor. You know, you describe somebody as charismatic. Yeah, we've heard that. And, you know, we mean all sorts of things by that. But what you're technically saying is that here's this person and we can see the gift of God on their life. Like, they're charismatic. It means they're actually accessing this gifting that's undeserved and unmerited and from God. And we see that and we are attracted to it. And so they're a charismatic person, yeah? But that's how we are called to be, yeah? Charismatic. It just means we're filled with gifting from God that we didn't deserve. Doesn't mean you're a better person than somebody else. It means that you have got the gift of God on your life and you are living it out. You have worked it, you have developed it, and you are using it for his glory. And people are attracted to him because of it, amen? So let's use our gifts, yeah? In 1 Peter 4, it says, each of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, he should speak as one speaking the very words of God. If they serve, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You know, it's not about you looking good because you used your gift. But it's about everything that we do pointing to Jesus so that he might be praised because we put in the effort to develop the gift that he's given us and we used it for his glory and his purpose, yeah? That everything that we would do would point to Jesus and that he would be lifted up because we would use our gifts, amen? That's why you use your gift. You know, I'm not interested in self-help or you know, be a better you or something like that. Like, it's about using the gifts that God has given you so that he would be glorified, his name would be lifted up, that people would praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Because, you know, like, as much as every single one of us has been given individual giftings and callings, each and every one of us has the opportunity to receive Jesus as an undeserved gift. Amen. And receiving him is the beginning of living out your call for God and living in your unique gifting. And so everything needs to come back to him. If it doesn't come back to Jesus, then there's no point. Amen. So let's live in our gifting and develop our gifting and not neglect our gifting and understand that it's all for the glory of God and so that Jesus will be praised. Amen. I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for the incredible favor that you give us. God, thank you that, you know, we didn't deserve it, but you just pour your grace out to us. You just gift us and you call us, God. And God, help us to understand how much that means and help us to get what you've done for us, God. Help us to get that we don't deserve it, but help us to accept it and receive it with grace, God. God, I just pray that you'd help us to develop our gifts and use our gifts. And God, that we would be charismatic people. Not that people would think that we are good, but that people would think that you are good. Because they see you working in our lives, God. And I just pray that this week you would just stir us up, God, that we would use our gifts and we would accept them, God, and that your name would just be lifted up and glorified, God. And it wouldn't just be glorified in a church service on a Sunday night, but every day, that everything that we do and in everything, God, that you would be glorified and people would be pointed to you. Thank you, Lord. Just before we finish, we're going to pray this prayer together. It's going to come up on the screen. If you want to receive Jesus and receive that gift, or you just want to just, you know, recommit that then we're all going to pray this prayer together, and we do it every week. So it'll come up on the screen. Let's just all pray. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.